You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 105 of Ravens Weekly. My name is Matt Hall and that there is the voice of Jeff Hutton, and we're both equally as surprised as each other that we've got this far. Action-packed episode today, Jeff, so I guess we should just crack straight on.
Yeah, crack straight on. Easy way, Matt.
Yes, and what a day it was. It was, of course, Good Friday in the Easter calendar, and it was a good Friday for Bromley as well. Recording a 2-0 victory on the road, and let's face it, Eastleigh have been a bogey team, Jeff, for quite a few years, haven't they?
Yeah, not too many great trips down to the Silver Lake.
No, but this one really was. It was back-to-back wins against Eastleigh in the National League. I don't honestly know if that's happened before and when it was. And also clean sheets, obviously beating them 3-0 in the reverse fixture here at Hayes Lane. It was Billy Bingham who opened the scoring in the first half, and James Vennings adding a stunning second in the second half. The fans were absolutely phenomenal as well that day. Travelled down in really good number. I think there was about 170 of them.
Packed in that corner under the roof as well, wasn't it?
They were, yeah. It was a beautiful day for a bit of football as well, and a really, really good performance. Well, why not? Let's relive it then, if it was that good. And here's the commentary from me and Dan Bentley on the day. Whiteley out to Dennis. Dennis, can he ping a shot? Here he can. It's blocked, but it will find its way to Partington. Back into Arthurs. Lets it run for Bingham. Opportunity to shoot. Bingham goes for the shot.
Goal!
It's a great finish, yes, by Billy Bingham, who rifles it into the bottom corner, left-footed, and no chance for Joe McDonnell there. That's a cracking effort from Billy Bingham, and Bromley have the lead. Dennis winning it back there for Bromley. Still Louis Dennis in towards Alabi. Alabi on the corner of the box. Into Cheek. In the box here, Michael Cheek. Goes down. Vennings with the shot.
Yes!
What a goal from James Vennings, who absolutely leathers it in beyond Joe McDonnell. Right-footed effort. First time. What a goal from James Vennings. And Bromley have a second.
Sounded like you enjoyed yourself that day, Matt.
Absolutely. The weather was fantastic. The football was brilliant. And it was really, really nice to interview Andy after the game. He was really, really happy with what he'd seen. And so were the fans on the coach. And fair play to the fans that made it down there. The atmosphere was fantastic and it was really, really good to see.
Obviously a couple of days break for yourself, Matt, not the players. Obviously they were in over the weekend, obviously preparing for Monday.
That's right. And someone else who was in action over the weekend were the under-23s, who beat Met Police by a 2-0 at Imber Court. That ground's got a few memories in it, hasn't it?
Big result for them with a league table as it is.
Massive. And obviously we'll talk more about that later, but there's a crunch couple of games coming up for them. But well done to Bromley under-23s and Steve Harris and the setup there. Absolutely fantastic. And then, like you say, back in on Monday for the players, Jeff, and Maidenhead United, the visitors.
Yeah, interesting. Like a bit of a you talk about bogey teams, Matt. Eastleigh, Maidenhead, another one of them, really. We've had some peculiar results for against them over the years. But yeah, not on the footballing front, anyway, not too much to shout about. Obviously,
no.
Fantastic first half, plenty of chances galore, Matt. It felt a bit similar to Dagenham, but in the other way, Dagenham having all the chances in that first half against us. This time at home against Maidenhead, we had chance in the first half, Matt. We just went by.
Fair play to Nathan Ashmore. He made some really, really good saves. But you know, at the other end, there were a few good chances for Maidenhead as well. There was some brilliant goalkeeping from Ellery Balcombe. Jack Cawley was outstanding and made a really incredible last-ditch block in the second half.
When you put the two games together, they're back-to-back clean sheets. You know, whenever we've been on sort of poor runs or anything like that, you know, over the years, it's always about trying to get back to the basics and trying to at least start somewhere. And if clean sheets is that, then we've obviously done that the last two games.
Absolutely. A negative that came from that game was, of course, Louis Dennis's injury, which he sustained in the first half. And it's really unfortunate, isn't it, Jeff? He's come back in from another injury and he's been playing absolutely brilliantly.
Trophy-esque, mate. You think about his previous spell with us and you think about the semi-final games against Gateshead and stuff like that. He was on his way back to that level. That's how it appeared, skipping past players for fun. And yeah, such a strange incident, the way it occurred. Latest on that, Matt?
Andy has said that it's not as serious as they first thought, and he'll go on to that more in the interview that we'll be showing in this episode later on. But yeah, it's
massive miss. But like you say, you talk about other players in the day. Billy Bingham, 100th game for the club.
Yeah, what a milestone that is. We've seen a few players reach it this season, but Billy has been absolutely phenomenal. Obviously, he's fresh from signing that new deal a couple of months ago as well. So a player that we can look forward to seeing more of in a Bromley shirt. And we were talking about it on the commentary on the day, just the little spins and the deft touches in midfield. He's just a class player, and we're really lucky to have him.
And obviously, Byron missed the game. Was that the second of his two-game ban?
Yes, two-game ban. So he was up in the exec club with the injured George Alexander, and they were chatting to the people up there, so that was a nice experience for them. Unfortunately, the injury list is quite extensive at the moment, isn't it? There's a lot of players that were missing out. I looked along the stand to the right, and there were quite a few players.
There's a top class seven aside team. It's crazy.
Yeah, you're not wrong at all. But
before we forget, Matt, a big shout out to Coney Hall under 10s.
Just going
to
say that
mascots and flag bearers on the day.
They look really smart, didn't they? In their black and red stripes.
Brilliant. So, I saw the photo with them Ronnie and the Raven before the game. They looked like they were having a great time.
Big thank you to Darren, the manager, and of course all the parents and kids from Coney Hall under 10s. We hope they enjoyed their day. Despite there being no goals for them to celebrate, they scored some themselves.
I was going to say they were scoring plenty at half time and before the game on the inflatable.
Well, let's be honest, Ronan the Raven's probably the worst goalkeeper in Bromley, so it's got to work on those skills. It was a second home consecutive man of the match for Ellery Balcombe. I touched on it a minute ago, that save in the first half from Kane Ferdinand's header, the ball was practically behind him and he's clawed it out. It was a fantastic save, and he's done really well. We always say we're very blessed to have two brilliant goalkeepers at this club, and we very much do, don't we?
And something that almost went by really without realising, it's been such a manic period here. Obviously Monday marked the 7th anniversary, Matt, of us our championship winning Conference South season.
What a day that was. I mean, Facebook doesn't let you forget these things, does it? The anniversary of these days, and all the photos were coming up from the day, and just that game against Western Supermare when the first goal went in, the packed out stadium. What a day it was, and the trophy on the pitch and the celebrations afterwards that went long into the night. It's going to live long in the memory, that one, and I know many people listening will have very fond memories of that day as well. And actually, what a great team we had that year as well.
Oh, love a little throwback. Nice to be reminded of that. Lone watch, Matt. Obviously, we've got a number of players out, both from the under-23s, first team, etc. It's been an eventful few days.
It has, yeah. Corey Roberts continues to get Man of the Match awards at Dartford and scored, actually, in a recent game. So, best of luck to him. Toby Stevenson also scored for Billericay on Monday, but they lost 2-1 to Chelmsford. And unfortunately, they find themselves at the foot of the National League South table at the moment. On a more positive front, Sol Cader is spending time on loan at Cray Wanderers and scored.
Helping our friends out over at Cray?
Yeah, absolutely. He scored on Friday in a 3-3 draw away to Enfield Town, and then scored again on Wednesday as Cray beat East Thurrock United
4-1. Big win. That was a relegation 6-pointer.
Massive. And East Thurrock are now in the relegation zone, and Cray have crept out of it.
And there's a one game to go, isn't it?
Yes, there is, yeah. Talk about going down to the wire. Sol also got an assist and a Man of the Match award on that day. So we've seen Sol play in the under-23s on a number of occasions, and he's been absolutely phenomenal. And it's just a matter of time before he broke into men's football. And let's be hoping that he can come back to Bromley in the coming months and make an impact there as well.
Matt, obviously moving on to community now, we're delighted to be joined by Andrea Ellis.
Andrea, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Well, I should say welcome back, because you actually were on here a few weeks ago. You seem like you really enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, it's been a really, really busy 2 months. Yeah, it's been fantastic. It's been great.
So how have you found your time here so far? Obviously, within the Community Trust now as the Women and Girls Development Officer, lots of stuff going on, isn't there?
There is. There's lots of different provisions started. So we've welcomed a new Wildcat session, which is on a Tuesday night from 5 to 6 on the stadium pitch. That's additional to the provision that we have on a Saturday anyway, that runs between 10 and 11, where we have about 24 Wildcats every Saturday. So really good to build on that existing the existing Wildcats that we've already got.
And alongside that session on the Tuesday is also a girls soccer school for players that might have a bit more experience, isn't there?
Yes, that's right. It's targeted at girls that are aged over seven, those ones where it's not necessarily their first experience of playing football. So they might have played football at school for a school team. And it's more sort of building on that initial confidence that they've already got. So, yeah, so they're slightly more targeted at learning some technical skills and game positions. So, but all fun.
Absolutely, and we talk about the Saturday provision as well on that Wildcats group that's been going for quite a while now. We've got some regular members in it and some girls that turn up every week, which is really great to see. On top of that, for the slightly older ones, we've got the girls' development session as well, haven't we?
Yeah, and that's really growing really well as well. So for anyone aged over 10 who really wants to sort of focus on developing their skills, that provision's ideal for them.
And it's a great time, isn't it, for women and girls in football with the Euros coming up and the coverage being the best that it's ever been, really?
I'm going to tell you, it's 77 days today till the Euros.
Not that you're counting.
Not that I'm counting. So excited. A lot of people I speak to at the moment can't wait for the women's Euros to start on the 6th of July, the first game at Old Trafford, England are playing. So it's really a brilliant time to be talking about women and girls football because, you know, it's just so, it's raising the profile, it's getting more people interested, people that might never have thought that they wanted to play football. So, yeah, really, really good.
And you talk about people that might have never thought about playing or don't have the confidence to do so. You're obviously very, very heavily involved with the Bromley Bells, which is a completely different provision. But you've had a lot of people come to join you of a slightly older age that may never have played or kicked a ball at all before.
Yeah, we had 26 at training on Wednesday. So, as you know, the Bells is targeted for women aged over 30 who may never have kicked a ball before. And the basis of that is just on fun and friendship and learning some football skills, quite a few social events as well off the pitch. We had two women join us for the first time this week and they absolutely loved it. Neither of them had played football. One had played football in the back garden with their child and just said, I'm just really, really pleased I turned up. And yeah, so it might seem daunting for people to come along because you think, oh, we're all going to be a certain standard. That's not the case at all. Everyone's really welcoming.
Well, Andrea, thank you so much for that. Lots more exciting stuff in the pipeline, and I'm sure we'll catch up about all of that very soon.
Thanks.
Great to hear from Andrea there, Matt. Obviously, a fantastic first few months and making a fantastic impact already.
Absolutely. It's great to have Andrea on board with the passion and expertise that she brings for the women and girls side of the game, which is, let's face it, really growing on such a big scale now. And it's absolutely brilliant to see. And we as a club and a community trust really embrace that. So, yeah, absolutely fantastic and a good catch up.
Obviously, Thursday, Matt, was Ravens Chat. Slightly different this week.
Yes, continuing the community theme. We love our Ravens Chat group, don't we? We have some gentlemen and ladies turning up every week to have a tea and a coffee and a catch-up, and we occasionally do
some
quizzes. It's
therapy for me, to be fair, when I do go up there.
It is. It's great to see everybody. We occasionally do quizzes and other things like that, and they have the opportunity to say hello to the players and to Andy. This week, they had the opportunity to chat to chairman and owner Robin Stanton-Glees.
Say hello to Andy. They do tend to...
I was trying to be PC with that one. Yes, they tend to tell Andy exactly what they think about the game that we've just played prior to the Ravens Chat meeting. But Andy loves going up and having a chat.
He's brilliant.
With him.
He's a great sport.
Takes it in his stride, doesn't he? And this time it was the chairman who dropped in, and it was a really, really amazing experience. Robin talks very openly and candidly about things going on at the club and obviously shared an insight into the preparations ahead of Wembley, so on and so forth. Having caught up with him afterwards, he was saying just how much he enjoyed being up there and chatting to everyone. It's such a nice environment and such a nice atmosphere. And I think a lot of people learned a lot of things about the club on that day.
He gave him a sneak peek, didn't he? Didn't he tell him the Wembley kit before it went public?
Yeah, they got
their first preview.
It was a world exclusive from Ravens Chat, which is quite a milestone for our little group in there. So it was absolutely brilliant to be a part of it. And I know the feedback from the participants afterwards was brilliant as well. They really enjoyed speaking to the chairman. And yeah, it was a fantastic occasion.
I think it's quite nice, and I think it's lovely that there are some photos, I think, online as well. Because I think there's a lot of that goes on with the chairman, and it doesn't always get seen. So really, really nice. And obviously, talking about the kit, Matt, it's on sale.
It is on sale now, and it looks great, doesn't it? Well, I personally...
I've always wanted us to have a black kit.
Yeah, you know, referees was the reason we couldn't in the National League.
We can't have it in the league because the referees have only got
match
black
officials,
kit. Is that right?
Yes, that's
although
right.
Most of them are in the Football League as well as Linos or something. Yeah. So you'd think they'd have an alternative kit. Usually like it's a luminous yellow or something.
Well, that'd
it?
Be too simple, wouldn't it?
No, so, of course it
yes, it's black and it's got a bit of
yeah,
grey on it as well.
For that.
It's gorgeous, though. It is really, really
nice.
What are
your traditional colours at Wembley?
And it's a big welcome to Kappa, who have designed the kit.
Oh,
and
Italian brand, French-owned. Don't know why I said that, but...
It's lovely. It's really nice.
It used to be called Robo de Kappa back in the day.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Jeff's been doing his research, unlike me. But yeah, that was great to see. And actually, the players, they had their first view of it on the screens in the players' lounge. And to see their reactions was really nice, actually. It went down very, very well.
It's smart.
We've asked Andy in the interview as well what he thinks of it, so you'll hear that very shortly.
I saw a few fans on Twitter already worried about sizing and stuff. I think that's because of the old days, wasn't it? When they like Kappa were doing a Fulham kit or something, wasn't it?
Didn't tight. It was like
skin tight. Yeah. It's not like that anymore. We had a couple of samples in the club the other day, didn't we?
Yeah.
All they said is if you're worried or you're half and half or you're right on the edge, basically go a size up. That's the word.
That's the word
on the street.
That's right. And obviously, continuing the talk of Wembley, we're past 7,500 tickets.
Boo!
Which is good, isn't it?
Yeah, so I was going back through 2018, and when they went on sale pretty quickly afterwards, quicker than this time in terms of when Wembley and FA and finally got them on sale. But we were only at 7,000 after about 8 days. So we're tracking at a similar stage. We've all spoke about the fact that a lot of the London Premier League clubs are at home and it's the last day of the season. But really pleased with the progress so far, Matt.
Absolutely, and long may that continue. The boys are going to need the backing on the day. The support last time was just unlike anything we've ever seen before. Absolutely outstanding, and that's what we want again, isn't it?
Because Wrexham are
going to pack their end. So,
and I think obviously we've got four home league games still. There's a lot of energy being put behind everything at the moment. Obviously Wembley being at pinnacle of it all, and obviously Charlotte Richardson, our new head of marketing, really taking a lead on that, and some fantastic initiatives already underway. Plenty more to come in the coming weeks. And Matt, you had the privilege of catching up with earlier this week to get a roundup on it all.
It's really felt like things have turned up a notch this week, with it being 1 month to go until the FA Trophy final. Very excited to unveil our FA Trophy final commemorative kit, the black design, Kappa being our manufacturers. I think it looks really slick. I absolutely love the way our new sponsors look on the kit. I think it's going to look really smart. And the main thing for me is we're giving supporters the opportunity to look the same as the first team, which I think will be absolutely fantastic. Looking at the previous photos of our trip to Wembley, seeing that sea of black and white is absolutely incredible. And I'm really looking forward to a special day out. And it's really been a case of, now we've had certain confirmation from the Football Association, from the competition, that we can really push and put out confirmed information. So we've created a bit of a booklet, a comprehensive guide, trying to answer as many questions as possible. But we've also added an FAQ section to our website, wearebromley.co.uk. So should supporters have any questions or not be able to find information, they can have a little look at that. And if that's not answering their question, then do let us know. But lots going on, really, really exciting. And I think it's just going to be week on week, more exciting things, more going on in the local community. So I would just say watch this space.
Great to hear from Charlotte there. Obviously so much going on in preparation for Wembley, yet so much still going on here. Four home league games to go still. And tonight, Matt Hayslane, the under-23s in action. Top of the table clash?
Yes, it's third versus second.
Oh.
So Bromley take on Chippenham Town tonight, and it is going to be quite the blockbuster. Bromley have had some fantastic results recently.
Shooting up there, it's all games in hand either way and stuff.
Yeah.
We've got to win to keep... The championship title on.
Yes, that's
got
correct.
It.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously, Saturday's win against Met Police will have helped with that. Bromley are on a brilliant run at the minute and playing some fantastic football as well. Steve Harris is really happy with the clean sheets that the team are getting. So tonight is a really, really big one. If you're undecided, come on down and get behind the team if you're listening to this on Friday afternoon. Bromley could go top with a win. It's unlikely. They need quite a big win to get there, with goal difference considered, but they would edge closer to winning that league. So very best of luck to Steve Harris and the team. It's been a pleasure watching them on any occasion that we have done this season.
And they've clearly got talent. Obviously, Sol Khedir.
So much talent.
Sol Khedir playing for Cray. Will he play tonight?
I don't know.
That'd be interesting.
That's a good question, yeah.
Ah. Broomfield's open as always.
Broomfield is open, of course it is. Come on down.
I'm worried about living there at the moment.
back to
the first team.
Oh, wow. timed that well, didn't we? Of course, the first team are away at Boreham Wood this Saturday. The 23rd of April. It's a Friday, everyone. Do bear with us. 23rd of April, Boreham Wood away. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Of course, no supporters coach for that one. So you've got to
try and charge us for that as well, wouldn't they?
Yes, I think so. So we have to give you a bit of an update here. Unfortunately, we will not be providing match commentary tomorrow because Boreham Wood have told us that if we were to do so, we would be charged for the privilege.
Yeah, they? How much is it? 50 quid. So we're just not doing it on principle?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So unfortunately, that will not be happening. However, you can keep up to date with the game on Twitter and across the socials.
We're not professional enough at the moment to charge for our commentary, surely.
Well.
I just talked about yourself, but...
Very good, very good. You can keep up to date, as I said, with that one on the Twitter and across social media. Fingers crossed Bromley can get another away win. Obviously, two clean sheets coming into this one on the back of. Boreham Wood, a match earlier this season, we lost 3-2. It was a 90th minute winner for Boreham Wood. And really, a game that we probably should have got the draw in. If not, we should have won ourselves. So I'm sure Bromley will be looking to avenge that. And interestingly... hashtag ex-Bromley watch, it seems like Frankie Raymond will not be playing due to a suspension, having been sent off last week. So, yeah, should be an interesting game tomorrow. But yes, of course, Frankie, a very gifted player. So,
love Frankie, but yes. I'll always remember that sending off against Peterborough. Brutal.
Lovely guy, and won't be playing tomorrow.
It was Peterborough, wasn't it? Sorry, I just had a moment there.
It was, yes, yeah. Won't be playing tomorrow, but of course... Come on down if you can, back the boys, get in that away end and make some noise like you did at Eastleigh, because that was absolutely fantastic. So.
Brilliant. Matt, yours, as usual, you managed to catch up with the gaffer for his thoughts on that and so much more.
Absolutely, yeah. Always a pleasure to catch up with Andy, and here's what he had to say earlier today. So, Andy, reflecting on that Easter period, how would you sum it up from your perspective?
Yeah, I was delighted to get the points at Eastleigh on the Friday, and obviously to get back to winning ways, and then really disappointed that we didn't back up again on Monday, you know, with the performance, which I thought was good. Losing Louis Dennis wasn't a great time to lose him, you know, because he was just really getting into the flow of the game. That said, I still think we created a lot of chances to sort of go on and win the game.
There's been an outpouring of messages and support for Louis Dennis, obviously a much loved figure around Bromley Football Club. How's he doing in himself?
Yeah, Louis will be okay. It's not quite as bad as we originally thought, which is good news. That said, it's not great, but we're keeping our fingers crossed, and hopefully we can see him back before the end of the season.
A frustrating afternoon against Maidenhead, but one positive was the defence, and in particular Jack Hawley, who had an outstanding game.
Yeah, another clean sheet. I mean, to get back-to-back clean sheets, I don't think we can have any complaints about that. Jack's come in and proven what Jack's about. He's a good, solid defender. So I'm chuffed to bits for Jack and the whole, you know, the whole defensive unit, goalkeeper included. So, yeah, I mean, I think when you push to try and get the winning goal, you sometimes leave yourself vulnerable. We did at times, you know, it was a clean sheet, not the 3 points we wanted.
I know you keep your cards close to your chest in this respect, but a few bodies on the sidelines at the minute. Without going into too much detail, are you expecting to be able to welcome any of them back fairly soon?
No, not yet, no.
That leads us into the Boreham Wood game, obviously. And you look back at the game earlier this season, a really tight affair and a last minute winner for Boreham Wood on the day, which probably we should have got a point out of.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big moment in that game, in my opinion. I think it might have been Louis Dennis had a shot, and the goalkeeper made a brilliant save to put us 3-2 in front. And then a minute or 2 minutes later, they'd gone up the other end and sucker punched us and beat us 3-2. So the margins again were tight. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be a tough game, regardless of who's on what run or where we are in the league or anything else going on. I think Boreham Wood and Bromley are normally quite tight affairs. It'd be a tough game, and we're looking forward to it.
Finally, the Wembley kit has been released this morning. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it looks great. I mean, I'm hoping the public are happy with it. I think it's a nice kit. I think it's a nice one-off kit. And hopefully it can end up being a winning lucky kit for us. But so yeah, I think we're really happy with it, and the players, most importantly, they're really excited about, you know, getting the kit on.
Andy, thanks for your time as always.
Thank you.
Matt, moving away from first team affairs for a quick moment, it's going to be an exciting Sunday for our Bromley youth.
It is indeed. There's two cup finals in the space of 5 days. The under-16s play Dover on Sunday in a Kent FA Cup match. Tickets are on the Bromley website for that one. And the under-15s play Ebbsfleet United in the League Cup on Thursday, and they also paraded their Kent County Cup win at half-time recently at the home fixture.
Of course they did, yeah. And they're top of their league, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yeah, absolutely. So good luck to them. And of course, we'll keep you updated on the roundup with all things youth next week.
And it's not just the youth, Matt. Youth Academy, they've got a big game on Sunday as well.
The under 16 girls do. They're in the cup final against Danson Sports. That's the League Cup final. So, very best of luck to the under 16 girls.
I love this time of the year when they've all got their cup finals or they're all in for
league
battles and stuff.
Bromley
it's fantastic.
Teams
especially
are
when, there's so many, when there's so many of the teams as well. It's a little moment to shine. I love it.
It's absolutely fantastic. So, yes, big shout out to all of our youth and youth academy teams and wishing them the very best of luck.
The weekend will fly by, and before we know it, it'll be Tuesday. Another home game, Matt, home to Aldershot Town, Tuesday evening. I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, it's a team that we've played twice already this season.
No, that wasn't it.
It was the Curry.
Oh, no. Yeah, Curry, yeah.
Curry pint, and a pint.
Was it? Curry
and a pint?
Curry, naan bread, and a pint of Zinger for a tenner.
Sounds good. Sounds very good.
It was on my brain. I don't know why.
Oh, sounds lovely. So,
and that's in Broomfields, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Broomfield. And Broomfield's open for 4 o'clock as well.
It is. Get on down early and enjoy some quality grub. It's really, really nice.
We need to write this stuff down. It's half price for... it's £10 for adults or concessions who have bought a Wembley ticket.
Yes,
when they log on,
game,
they log on to buy their ticket for the Aldershot game, they'll find the ticket reduced from... the usual price is down to a tenner.
Take advantage of that. Absolutely fantastic offer from the club. So moving on then to Aldershot, of course, visiting Hayes Lane on Tuesday. It's a side that we played twice earlier this season. A 2-0 victory in the FA Trophy on our road to Wembley and a 3-2 victory in the National
League.
The
result there last season when we were trying to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Was it during COVID? No.
It was the first game back.
It was supposed to be home fans only.
Well,
wasn't it?
If you look at the picture of Joe Kizzy celebrating, I'm pretty sure that they were not
brilliant.
All home fans.
I mean, that was ridiculous. We were down and out.
It was brilliant.
So good. That was.
They're usually entertaining games against Aldershot Town, so let's hope that Tuesday will be something of a similar kind of ilk. So we've got Peter O'Shea, who was on the podcast previously, I believe, actually.
Oh,
so it's his second appearance. So Peter's been on the podcast more than Josh, who's in this room with us now. So welcome back, Peter O'Shea, for your second appearance. Here's what he had to say on Aldershot season so far.
It's Peter from Aldershot. I hope you're all well at Bromley. Just bringing you up to date with where we are ahead of Tuesday night's game. I'm recording this ahead of the game with Solihull, and as you know, we are still absolutely desperate for points. People keep saying, you know, they think we're safe, but I certainly won't think we're safe until it is absolutely mathematically possible. So, you know, we could clinch our survival on Tuesday night at your place, or we could miraculously get something at Solihull and Kings Lynn don't win against Dagenham. So it's been a strange season for us. Started out with obviously Danny in charge of the team, then changed with two legends of the club coming back in, Mark Molesley and Terry Brown. We didn't get that new manager bounce, but we were still playing some pretty expansive football. And we went to Stockport, lost 1-0. And I was like, yeah, this is okay. The football looked good. And I thought we were a little bit unlucky that day. Then we had to really tighten things up and play a much more defensive game, which is not really typical with how Aldershot played down the years, but needs must, as they say. We got a really decent result against our near Surrey neighbours over the festive period. But then aside from a result down at Weymouth, which was much needed in the 93rd minute, an odd draw with Chesterfield away and Southend at home. Until recently, we'd been on a really, really poor run, only just sort of picking up the points that keep us in the fight. I thought we were getting dragged in. One of the hardest things for us was losing to Kings Lynn 3-0. I think they came, had a look and thought they're there for the taking. And I think you lost 1-0 to them as well recently as well. So some of the main challenges we faced, we lost Laurie Walker and Corey Andrews at the turn of the year. That was massive for us. And outside of Corey Andrews' goals, there is not a prolific goal scorer within the team. And that's been a real challenge this half. And I think when you see teams paying the money that they are for some of these players, you know, it's really hard to get hold of a really decent striker. But I'm ever hopeful, but ever so nervous, but really hoping we can pull something off over the next couple of games, and then wish you all the best for the rest of the season, including a great day out at Wembley, which I'm sure will be fantastic for the Bromley boys, and really hoping you beat the money men from North Wales.
Massive thanks to Peter there. Like you say, Matt, second show, I really appreciate it. It's always good to get an insight into the opposition.
It is, absolutely. You know, these people watch their sides week in, week out, whether they're staff members, whether they're fans, whether they're other members of the coaching team, whoever. It's always good to speak to people from other clubs and understand how things work there, whether we're at a game, whether we're doing the podcast. And the fans getting their views across on the podcast is brilliant. And big thank you to Peter for his two appearances this season. I'm pretty sure that's the first opposition fan to have a double appearance.
Well, to be fair, we've got to do a better job of getting our own fans on here, actually, as well.
Yes, we probably do, actually.
We need to find out. We used to go back. We used to ask a question of the week and stuff like that. We've got to get back into that. Routine. Maybe we can catch people in Broomfield.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe do that.
Podcast exclusive.
Yeah. Maybe not a live podcast. Because
no, I think that would probably go very, very wrong.
I'd like my job.
I think that's it, isn't it now?
I hope so. No, yes. It's been good. I think we've covered a hell of a lot there, Matt. Obviously, a big, big week ahead. Aldershot, like you say, Bournemouth Saturday, sorry. Aldershot at home on a Tuesday. And that's followed by Chesterfield, Matt, on the Saturday
as
well.
It is, on the 30th, yeah.
You know, it's going to be a hell of a running up to that Wembley game. So different to 2018, a massive gap between the end of the season and the Wembley game. Completely different this time around. Game after game after game. Before we know it, we're going to be there, Matt.
Absolutely. And yes, like you say, plenty between now and then to get through. First, lots of games coming up, thick and fast. Come on down, get behind the lads and support your team. We can't wait to welcome you again to Hayes Lane. I think that's it. Thank you so much for putting up with us and listening to us once again. And we'll be back again very soon. Take care. Champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me. And that's the town.